Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's Chris and Amy show is brought to you by Snooze Less Alarm Company, because 2025 is your year to wake up earlier.
Ah, yes.
Well, there was a time. Chris, from North Carolina.
Oh, dude.
Chris Ronji, Amy Markscore is with you. Only a couple more days left in 2024. And The Athletic, Ronj. I don't know if you saw this.
Not The Athletic, Ronj. The Athletic, comma, Ronj. There you go.
No one has seen The Athletic, Ronj.
I used to have a glove.
It's your coffee.
I'm dying.
Smoking cigarettes over there. The Athletic, comma, Ronj conducted a poll among 40 executives and coaches in each of the four major leagues, MLB, NBA, NFL, and NHL. And they asked these executives to rank the top five front offices in their respective leagues. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a point system here. The first place vote got 10 points. A second place vote was worth 7. Third place, 5. Fourth place, 3. Fifth place, 1. So then they took all of these rankings for all four leagues and put them together to rank the top five front offices in the four major sports combined.
Okay.
So the executives were asked about their respective leagues. We can just jump right in. Who do you think... You can say who you think number one is, or who you think is in the top five.
So of all the sports, and we're all of them ranked together. So
yeah,
not like,
it's a little
not like
confusing.
By league, okay.
Right. So 40 executives and coaches in MLB, 40 executive coaches in NHL, and so forth. They each ranked according to this point system within their own leagues, but then the points were thrown together.
So what they consider to be what these executives, we're talking executives and not players, because that would be probably a different outcome. Okay, so
and here's how The Athletic put it, quote, "This isn't a scientific comparison of these front offices, but rather a ranking of which ones are viewed as the best by their direct competitors."
See, well, this is what's in my head.
Okay.
If you remember from, I believe it was last year, where they did this, a similar thing with the NFL, and they asked players what they think of the the organization. And the Chiefs were like 31 or 32. They were ranked near the bottom, which is stunning.
That was because players?
It was players because of the amount of success they've had.
And winning generally covers a multitude of things.
You would think.
Yeah.
But I would get, or maybe it was ownership. It was something about ownership or the organization, whatever. But my guess would be that the Chiefs are viewed more favorably amongst GMs and other executives around sports because of the amount of success they've had, because of the Super Bowls, the fact they're on the verge of a potential three-peat here.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. I don't think they're going to be number one, but I would guess they're top five right now. I would think the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays, are probably up there just because they historically have done very well with very little payroll.
Mm-hmm.
They've maximized everything. They're always competitive. They don't win a World Series, but they're always competitive without paying for high-priced free agents. I would think the Ravens and or the Steelers are up there.
Okay.
Just because there's always consistency with those teams. But I don't know who the number one team would be. This is a really great question. But I would think those organizations would be there. What's further interesting is, I think if this were 20 years ago, the Cardinals would definitely be in the top five, top 10, if not top five. But they're not there right now because they haven't had the same success that they used to. You remember, they were viewed as the model for baseball teams, that you didn't have to spend crazy amounts of money to win. You could still put together a really good product and a team that is competitive. They win World Series. They go to World Series. So I would say that, 15 years ago, we're talking about the Cardinals, but I bet they're not there now.
All right. So Let's do this. Let's start with the top five. Then I'll tell you where the St. Louis teams are ranked. But you said the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Rays. Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, Rays.
Yeah, I put the Rays in there. I bet the Colorado Avalanche are up there, too.
Okay. So you were spot on with the top five, including the Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Ravens. So the Baltimore Ravens came in third place.
Oh, wow. Third overall. Okay.
Third overall. Yeah. This is all four leagues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Tampa Bay Rays were fourth overall.
That makes sense.
Pretty darn good. The surprise is the Steelers. They were 37th
really?
Overall. Tied for 37th.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
The Chiefs, number eight.
Okay.
So can you guess who one and two are?
Give me, what is number one? What league? What league?
NBA.
In the NBA, number one overall, maybe Celtics?
Want me to just tell you?
Yeah.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah, was ranked number one of all four leagues. It had 29 first place votes. And
what's the rationale there? Does it give you an idea of what executives say about them?
It says that part of it is the draft and the way they're able to run the organization. At the same time, do you think they put so much? Does it matter that it's a single sport city that all of that attention is on them or not really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Were the Packers up there?
It said the Oklahoma City Thunder have amassed a collection of draft picks that is unrivaled in the NBA.
And that's the kind of thing that executives would be really interested in because they love draft capital.
So one assistant GM said, OKC, they're so well positioned, blanking blank, for the next 5 years.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They said they have been able to build assets, build a collection of talent, and just make an incredibly competitive organization. Okay. Number two,
in this what league?
Baseball. Major
League
Baseball.
Number two in baseball. Okay. I probably should look at the...
if you want a hint, I can give you a hint.
Yeah, give me a hint.
It doesn't necessarily... Having a big budget does not exclude you from this list.
Well, I can't believe there's a team in front of the Rays. Is it the Braves? The Braves spend a lot of money,
though. That was my guess. It was not the Braves. You ready?
Yeah.
The Dodgers.
Oh, well,
because
yeah, okay.
It said because they do have, they've got the money, and they said you shouldn't fault executives for being able to spend money.
And I agree with that because they are capable of spending money. They do it. They commit to it, but they also do the other things really well.
Yeah, he said the farm system.
The farm system's great. They draft well. They develop. That's a good organization top to bottom.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
That is one executive described the first place vote for the Dodgers as, quote, self-explanatory. They are elite at everything. He said the roster is well managed. The farm system churns out prospects. And yeah, they have a lot of money. But what another executive said is, one of the things they do so well is knowing which stars to sign.
Yep.
They said you can't fault them for having money, and they spend it well.
See, and I go into this, the exercise, I went into it thinking, okay, well, the teams that are going to be viewed the highest are the ones that don't necessarily have to spend a ton, but they do things from the ground up, which is, I would think most teams, owners certainly, would love to pay as little as they could for payroll, right?
Yeah.
So you would think that that's how they would see it. I agree with that executive. You cannot fault a team that has money and is willing to spend it. We talk about this all the time. I love it. I love when teams like the Yankees spend a lot of money, and I love when the Dodgers do it because, let me give you, I go to this example a lot. The Dodgers go to the World Series, I think it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and instead of what a lot of teams would do is they would say, hey, we went to the World Series. We're going to bring back most of the same guys. We're in great shape. The Dodgers do that, and they go get Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
They go get one of the top three or four players in the game after going to a World Series. And yeah, they have the resources, but they said, we're good. We're going to do everything we can to get even better. We already went to a World Series. We're going to get even better for next year. I love when teams do that because most owners would want to rest a little bit and say, eh, we don't need to commit all of this money. Look, we're a World Series team as it is. I mean, why do we need to get better? Well, they did it. I love it. And I think every team should do that as best they can.
Is it fair to say that, like we said, they're elite on all levels. They know where to spend their money. And there are teams that don't always spend the money wisely, like the Boston Red Sox have spent money poorly before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Yankees have done it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, the Texas Rangers have spent some bad money, but they gave it a shot. I would rather teams try than not try.
So, okay, so we have the Oklahoma City Thunder, 1. Los Angeles Dodgers, 2. You guessed, 3 and 4. The Baltimore Ravens are 3, 4. The Tampa Bay Rays, number 5. You want to guess? And I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
Because you'll never guess that it's actually in the NHL.
It's in the NHL.
It's in the NHL.
I'm guessing it's not the Blues.
Not the Blues.
I said Avalanche earlier. It's not them.
Mm-mm.
I wonder where they are.
I'll let you know. It is the Dallas Stars.
Oh,
the
okay.
Stars have been to the Western Conference Final 3 of the past 5 years. They lost the 2020 Stanley Cup Final. They're not a dynasty, but what they're able to do with homegrown talent and be competitive, the general manager, Jim Nill, does a great job. So that would be the top 5. How about when we come back, I'll give you some other interesting placements as well as where the Cardinals and Blues landed.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. And I could tell you who's dead last. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
All right, I was going through the list here from The Athletic, a ranking of the top front offices in all four major sports, MLB, NFL, NHL, NBA. This is as ranked by 40 executives and coaches in each of their respective leagues, and then they put the rankings all together. OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder, number 1. Dodgers,
didn't see
number
that coming.
2. Baltimore Ravens, number 3.
Rays are up there.
Tampa Bay Rays, number 4. And the Dallas Stars, number 5. Where do you think your St. Louis Blues ranked?
Out of how many? What would total?
70.
Out of 70 teams? Mm-hmm. Are they on the 70?
They are.
Okay. Because there are more than 70 pro teams. My guess is they came in probably in the 60s.
No, better than that. They were tied for 44th
with the
Houston Rockets and the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, that's not bad.
Where do you think your St. Louis Cardinals came in?
50s.
They did not make the cut.
They didn't make the cut.
No. And that would have been different 10 years ago.
That's
10 years ago, they would have been
10 to 15, they'd have been top 10.
Yeah.
Easy.
They did not make the top 70.
Wow. Okay.
Bears made the top 70.
What? I thought the Bears would have been dead last. They are so bad. They are the worst team in professional sports. The worst organization.
So the 70th spot was all a tie for the 70s. Do you want to hear? And they were all tied with 1 point, which means executive voted them 5th best in their
league.
Yeah,
it was somebody with the Bears.
It probably was.
What's the best organization? Us.
Here are the teams they were tied with. The Chicago Bears ranked 70th with 1 point, which means one executive in their league said they were the 5th best team. New York Mets, New Orleans Saints, Cincinnati Reds, Toronto Maple Leafs, Washington Wizards, Arizona Cardinals, Miami Dolphins, and the LA Clippers.
Okay.
How are the Bears on there and not the Cardinals?
When was this done? At the beginning of the I'll tell you what happened. At the beginning of the year.
Probably 4 games into it.
at the beginning of the year when they probably started putting this together.
So it was the start. You nailed it, Ronj. It's the start of each respective season this year.
Well, everybody was talking about them, that they have drafted this number one overall generational quarterback talent, and they have put him in maybe the best situation a rookie quarterback has ever come into, because they weren't all that bad the year before. Usually, a team is dead last, you know, like 2 wins or 3 wins or whatever, when they get to draft a quarterback mm-hmm. like that, the number one overall pick. But they got it in a trade, so therefore they weren't terrible last year. So people were saying, this is a, well, they gave him weapons, they gave him offense, but they overlooked the line and how terrible the offensive yeah. line and how terrible the coaching is and was, and we knew it. So it's probably early season, like, oh, wow, this is going to be a perfect situation for them, yeah. and we know what's happening.
And it was. It was at the beginning of each of the league's respective yeah.
That's
respective
why.
Seasons. Okay, rounding out the top 10, number 6 was the Boston Celtics. Number 7, you think you might have said this too, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay's
I did not say the
it.
Lightning, no.
Okay, so the Tampa Bay Rays and the Tampa Bay Lightning, both in top 10, mm-hmm. which is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah.
John Cooper, their head coach, he's incredible. Obviously, they won the Stanley Cup in 2020. That was when Pat Maroon played as well. Kansas City Chiefs, number 8.
Oh, there you go.
Number 9, Florida Panthers.
Oh, interesting.
Yep, number 9, Florida Panthers. They are head coach Paul Maurice. He's one of my favorite coaches in the NHL. Probably Paul Maurice and Craig Berube are my two favorite NHL coaches. Although Jim Montgomery's awesome. Number 10, San Francisco 49ers.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have any interest in 11 through 20, Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Atlanta Braves, 12.
There you go.
Vegas Golden Knights, 13. Miami Heat, 14. Cleveland Guardians, 15.
I'm a little surprised the Warriors weren't up there. I feel like Golden State's put together a pretty good organization. That's interesting, though. I like lists like this. I'm really yeah. curious. I'm always curious to know what executives privately think. Well, you know, because they're not going to tell you. They're not going to put right. their names to it, but you can get a nice aggregate of what they think.
Golden State Warriors tied for 32nd with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, Eagles and Braves, I thought the Braves would be pretty high up there.
It just, when you put this up against what the Cardinals and Blues are right now, I mean, they're average teams, mm-hmm. you know, in the landscape of sports. Both teams are just kind of average. And it's... You know, we're not that far removed from a Stanley Cup, and we're really not that far removed if you think yeah. about it. I guess it's been over a decade now, but from a World Series. So most teams don't get the chance to go to a World Series, but it feels like, at least from the perspective, the national perspective, that the pedestal the Cardinals have been on for decades
yeah.
is kind of gone for them. Well, that same luster isn't there anymore. And the evidence of that is how much people talk about the farm system and the foundational level and the stuff they used to do really well, where they were out in front of all the other teams mm-hmm. and doing it. They have been bypassed by a lot of teams in baseball.
And remember, this was at the start of the season, so maybe fans, the public was late to the game, but this was before the whole Katie Wu breaking story about right. how far behind the Cardinals were in their farm system. So maybe these executives saw that or knew it, or maybe they had already just seen enough that even before the Athletic story came out about how far behind the Cardinals farm system is. I will say, like, certain votes, we know how I said all the teams tied for 70th with the Chicago Bears. They had 1 point, and that's because one person said yeah. they were in fifth place. One executive described his fifth place vote for the New York Mets as, quote, purely a vote of confidence in David Stearns.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that's why sometimes somebody would get one vote.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. A text message here, and we'd like to hear from you too, at 314-436-7900, or drop us a voice message straight from the Odyssey app. If you're listening to the show live there, this text says, not every team has the money the Dodgers have. MLB needs a salary cap because teams like the Dodgers are killing competition and the game. I could not disagree with that anymore. The baseball does not need a salary cap. And if you believe they do, and if you believe the sport is being killed, it is not because teams are spending money. If anything, the thing that hurts baseball is teams that don't spend money. Teams like the Oakland A's, who have refused to contribute any money, even though they get revenue sharing money. And if you go back and look at the World Series participants over the last several years, yeah, you got big market teams like the Dodgers and Yankees, but last year it was the Rangers and Diamondbacks. You know, you had the Rays in the World Series just 4 years ago. Look, a lot of big Cleveland was in 2016. It's not exclusive to the big market teams with money. And I'll give you another bit of reality. Most teams can spend money if they want to. They just choose not to. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. The show continues. And we want to hear from you. As I mentioned, leave us a message on the Odyssey app. This is KMOX.
Ranj, I have a question. I want to know what you would do. Went to a Mexican restaurant with my family a couple of nights ago. What is today? Monday? This was must have been Saturday night. And it's busy. It's the holidays. Kids are in from college. Families in town. People go to restaurants. And you go at 6:30 at night. It's probably going to be crowded, right?
Sure.
Right. So we're there, and it is crowded. And, you know, there's the servers who are running back and forth. The manager is very involved, running back and forth. And then the young girls at the front desk, you know, like the hostesses, seating people. They look really young. They look like maybe they're just in for college, from college, too. It's crowded. Everyone's waiting. And there's this man at the bar.
Oh, this guy.
Pretty tall guy.
I already
guy.
Don't like him.
Probably like 6'6".
Oh.
Had like a beard.
Please
like a
don't
short
hurt me.
Beard. And like had a, I don't know, a tackle and fishing shirt on or something.
Oh.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
So we're standing at the bar. My dad's like, hey, because I showed up later. He's like, do you want a drink while we wait? I said, certainly. So we walk up to the
certainly.
Bar. Sweetly. We walk up. I hate that. We walk up to the bar and the tackle T-shirt guy is standing there. And my dad goes, oh, are you in line? He's like, yeah. And my dad goes, oh, okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure I didn't butt in front of you. He goes, well, everyone else has.
Oh,
so
whoa.
You may as well.
Whoa.
And my dad's like, oh, no, that's okay. So then the bartender comes over and says, can I help you? And the guy's like, yeah, we want to sit over there. She said, okay, well, you're going to have to talk to your server, the hostess for seating. You know, I can't help you with that, but do you want a drink? He's like, no, I want to sit down. And she's like, okay, you can talk to the hostess. And he was just kind of agitated. And then she talks to us and like, do you want a drink? And we knew that we had, you had to talk to the hostess. So yeah, we knew we were just getting a drink. So we order our drink. Meanwhile, the tackle T-shirt guy is standing around the bar and I can hear him pointing to us like, they came in after us. Look at, see that, see them? See them? They're sitting down. They came in after us. See them? And he's getting mad. And I'm thinking, this guy needs to calm down. 2 minutes later, here's what I hear him say. We better get seated soon, or I'm going to get violent. And I look at him, and I want to say, you're such a loser. What do you mean you're going to get violent? These poor girls are working their tails off on a Saturday night trying to seat people. The bartender's trying to get people drinks. The staff of this restaurant bending over backwards to make sure everybody's getting what they need while they wait because they're busy because it's 6:30 on a Saturday night. And I looked at this guy and I thought, is he actually going to get violent? What's he going to do? Punch one of the little girls that's trying to seat everybody? Or is he what? Like, and why would you say that out loud? And then there was like 1% of me that thought this guy actually could get violent. Like, who knows? But if you were that man and you're 6'6 and you were in that, and that's the only reason I bring up the fishing and tackle shirt, because I hope he's listening. Calm down.
Boy, you've had a lot of complaints about people that you hope are listening today. So you got the guy in the Porsche Cheyenne who
we have, if they are listening, we have the worst listeners.
Oh my God.
If all these people is our fan base.
No, we have a it's an eclectic group of people who listen. But you're telling me this story, and all I can think is this man is probably the only 6'6 guy in the world who has not effectively been able to use his stature. Because when you're 6'6, people pay attention to you. You very rarely get overlooked.
Yeah.
People don't look past the guy who's 6'6. Well, they go to you first. So if this man is getting overlooked, he's doing 6'6 wrong.
No, that's the thing. That's how I know he either wasn't very smart or he wasn't trying to be smart, because He said people were butting in line. We thought that meant for the drinks. Everybody knew that you're standing there. You're not waiting to be seated by the bartender.
Right.
You're waiting to get a drink. So when he said everyone else is butting in line, we thought, oh, wow, he hasn't been able to order a drink. But no, he had. He meant people were butting in line and like sitting down at tables in front of him, which is not the idea of butting in line. And he didn't order a drink from the bartender. And he said, I'm going to get violent. At a Mexican restaurant where all these little kids, basically their children, are trying to seat people, it was so bizarre to me. And I really wanted to confront him.
He's hungry, man.
My dad's like, do not confront this guy.
What were you going to do?
Well, that's it. What was he going to do? Punch me? He's
well, he
6'6".
Said he was going to get violent.
That's what I mean.
He would decimate you.
Do you know how dorky you have to be for a 6'6 man? Who, by the way, he wasn't gangly. He wasn't all skinny and woogly woogly. He was a thick 6'6 guy. For
him, he would have destroyed you
right.
in a fight.
And I almost wish he had, because that would have been so pathetic on his part.
And it would have been a great story for the show.
So much content.
Amy got the crap beat out of her by a 6'6" man.
At a Mexican restaurant who said she, quote, butted in line.
Hey, sir, why don't you calm down? Why don't you consider?
That's what I wanted to say. Calm down. Can't you see all of these hardworking young people?
He was hungry, man.
I'm going to get violent. Who talks like that?
Look, have you
grow up?
Do you ever dated somebody who gets hangry?
No,
I have. And you better feed them.
Oh, is that the dog that would throw up?
No, that was. Yeah. Yes, I had a girlfriend who I lived with for a short period of time who had a dog, great dog,
yeah,
Otis. And Otis, if you did not feed him by like 9 o'clock in the morning, he would puke. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how that happens, but you had, because there would be times where I, you know, the dog was not my responsibility because it was her dog. But if she weren't there or whatever, and sometimes I think that she would forget to feed him when she'd leave the house. So it was up to me.
Yeah.
And then maybe I forgot. And it's like 9:30 and there's puke on the floor. I'm like, oh, forgot to feed Otis.
You know, the only other person I've
I am starving.
The only other person I know who does that is my sister.
She pukes if she doesn't eat?
Yes, she throws
what
up
is
and
that?
She gets too hungry.
What?
That's so weird.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. Technically, it would make you hungrier.
Now you've
got nothing in your stomach. No, my sister, who I shall not name.
What the?
But it rhymes with Remley.
Hey, Remley.
And she throws up when she gets too hungry.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm so hungry I could puke. What?
Yeah. So we have to feed her. She's like trying to keep a little Tamagotchi alive. We're like, oh my gosh, here's Emily. Like, oh, we need to feed her. Oh, Remley. I mean,
it must be like a stomach acid thing, like a reflux or something. That you get if you
haven't. Here's the thing. She's an artist. She's a night owl, musician, singer, painter, artist, right? I am not. I think in Microsoft Word. I have no vision. I'm just very regimented.
You're a word processor.
I'm a word processor. It's why I love the Swiss Germans. I like the trains to be on time. I think we should all use more self-restraint and dress in brown and go to bed early. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
She's the artsy, fartsy person who stays up late. And here's what she does, which I would never do. She forgets to eat. How do you forget to eat?
I've never forgotten
She'll go,
to eat.
I feel a little faint. Okay, Emily, are you going to throw up? Did you eat? Oh, I don't think I've eaten since Tuesday. Oh my gosh, how do you forget to eat? I've never once forgotten to eat. Matthew?
If you, I'm looking online here at healthline.com. If you don't eat for a long time, your stomach can produce hydrochloric acid, which will build up and lead to acid reflux and nausea.
See? I was right. But this text message says, your sister should get checked out for diabetes. Please have her check with her doctor. Well, now your sister's a diabetic.
Yeah, she's a diabetic. I told you about that high school play, right? That in high school, there was this girl that their high school theater company was doing the play Rent.
Yeah.
But they didn't want them saying AIDS or talking about AIDS. So everybody had diabetes.
Oh, that's right. I just
maybe you don't tackle rent then.
I almost want to have it just so I could say, so I could tell people I have diabetes.
I don't
think you do. I would pronounce it diabetes.
Yeah. Well, you can still pronounce it that way and say you don't.
But
have
it's almost I can't because I'm
privileged.
Yeah. I'm privileged right now.
Privileged blood sugar levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, diabetes.
Well, it's not looking so good.
Yeah. You never know, man. But
Well, maybe we'll get her checked out. But yeah, these artists. Matt, you're a music guy. Are you? I feel like you would never forget to eat.
No, there's a constant reminder. It's your stomach.
Yes.
Yes.
Feeling hungry. You can't forget.
Yeah, and your stomach reminds me that you're hungry because I can hear it from over here.
And I will also remind you on top of that saying, I'm hungry and I'm dying for lunch right now.
I can tell you, I have never forgotten to eat. I could have the stomach flu. I could be in the worst breakup fight where you're both angry, but you're both eating a turkey sandwich in the middle of it because you got to eat. I've never been so stressed that I couldn't eat. I've never been so happy that I couldn't eat. No matter what happens, whether I am grieving or angry or tired or sick, I have always been able to eat.
I get stressed. If I'm stressed enough, I can't eat.
I've never had that.
Yeah.
And I've been super stressed. I am a stress ball. Look at me right now.
And you'd have a
hungry.
Snack. You're always
so hungry.
Another message says, this is hilarious. Amy's going to have a guy with a beard and a Porsche and a tall man angry outside the station.
I know.
When we go to the parking lot, all three of them are going to be out there.
Yeah. And there was one other guy, too, but I couldn't get a good look because they had dark tinted windows. But there was a BMW sedan, like a 7 Series that they don't make anymore. Cut me off so much that it was almost like a ghost. I could see the back of his car pass through the front of my car. I really think it was a Christmas miracle that we didn't crash. He dove across 6 lanes of traffic from the fast lane on 40 to exit to 270 South. After that exit lane had already started. And I held my horn down for like 20 seconds. I was so mad at this guy. So mad.
Do you think the horn got the point across?
I hope so. Probably to the person in front of me who had nothing to do with it. But yeah, this 6'6" guy, calm down. Think about things. Think about your life.
He was
hungry.
You're
going to get violent?
Well, you never know.
That's a horrible thing to say in public.
Well.
And I don't know if he thought he was. Does you think it makes you cool? That like you,
no, he wasn't
a 6'6"
hungry.
Year old man, is going to get violent. I'll show these little 20-year-old girls who's boss.
That you've never been at a restaurant waiting for a table and you feel like you're about to die because you haven't eaten and they're just not paying attention
my
to you.
My go-to is always crying. I don't have...
Well, he would probably say, why'd you cry? Get violent instead.
No, like I don't get anger. I don't understand how people just like... Like my go-to is tears all the time. I've cried in Steve's office. I've cried here. I've cried at the airport. I've cried at the Blues game. Just when things go wrong, my eyeballs tear up.
Another message here says, did you tell the big guy that you worked at a radio station?
Oh my gosh, I know, but I told my dad.
Do you know who I am?
This is what I said to my dad. I go, I want to confront this guy. And my dad goes, do not confront him. I go, well, I'm going to talk about him on KMOX on Monday. And
Amy,
I did.
Amy pulled... She pulled it. It's sort of like a tacit. Do you know who I am? Do you know
me?
Well,
because like I didn't want to say I talked to a lawyer. Like, why would you preemptively talk to a lawyer? So it wasn't a do you know who
you
I am.
That.
It's no, because I don't want to say, hey, I talked to my lawyer. He said not to give you the phone. That's so suspicious. I want people to know why I talked to the lawyer. Like, hey, it's my job. I had to talk to him. And this is what he said. I'm so sorry that I know this, but I'm not going to give you my phone.
Feel free to weigh in on the Odyssey app. Leave us a message whenever you want. If you've got thoughts, we want to hear them. Amy Marks, Cora's Chris Ranji, KMOX. Another message to the text line at 314-436-7900. Amy totally was pulling a do you know who I am. But if it helps, you'd be crazy not to use it. I do agree with that to an extent. I agree that if you can use... So I used to...
To get out of giving a police officer my phone?
Sure.
Yes. I'm not trying to get into a crowded restaurant. I'm trying to prevent myself from caving in to a police officer and giving him my phone when I don't have to.
I watched a guy that I used to work for who was with a sports agency. We'd go to, like a club or something, and there'd be a line.
Like a country club or like a
like one of those.
Yeah.
And he would get his business card out because it said, you know, sports agent, whatever, and go to the front of the line and you're like, hey, you know, can you take care of us? And they'd 9 times out of 10 say, yeah, come right in, no cover. And so I borrowed that when I had a business card. I don't really have any business cards.
I don't have a business card.
And, you know, back in my days, I would do that. It worked. I saved a lot of money, saved a lot of standing in line
time.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of friends who were really tall and big, and they used to just say they were the offensive lineman for the Tennessee Titans, and they got into any club they wanted.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't prove them wrong. Nobody knows.
No, you would be insane to have that in your back pocket and say, nah, I'd rather wait in line and then pay $20.
Yeah.
You'd be crazy.
Yeah, and 3 or 4 guys show up, and they're all like 6'6", 300 pounds. What are you going to say?
Right.
Prove it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, try to...
Want
to
line up against me and I'll show you.
Try to get to my quarterback. Yeah.
Speaking of that, our no prize pick'em challenge happened last week. And guess who won?
Dean.
Listener Dean.
He's the best.
Won again.
Wow.
The only game he got wrong was that Packers game. He picked Green Bay to win over the Vikings. They did not, but he got the rest of them correct. So he defeated you, me, and former Cardinal Mark Sweeney. So,
how did I do?
Pretty poorly.
I think I did poorly.
You did, let's see, you got 5 right.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us got 5 right.
Okay.
So you, me, Mark, we all got 5 right. Actually, Brad picked for you. Brad Young selected for you.
That's right, I didn't even play.
You weren't even here. Brad Young was in your play. You're over there stealing valor.
You know why? Because I forgot, because it was Dean last time. So I picked with Dean.
Yeah.
I just
didn't pick
with Dean the second time.
So Brad Young, I forgot. Brad Young was in for you. So Brad, Mark Sweeney, and me, we all came in with 5 apiece. So we will have one more no prize pick'em this Friday, final week of the season. Although we're going to do, I think, wild card, going into wild card weekend, we might do another one. So, because there are plenty of games to pick during wild card weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And divisional round playoffs.
I like when NFL games are on Saturday, too.
It's the best. Like
the
right
Saturday,
now.
Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Last couple of weeks, I love all day Saturday and Sunday. That's that's really, really fun. This is a great part of the football season. And it's almost over.
Hey, you know, did you get anything good for Christmas? Because I know you're a watch guy.
Mm-hmm.
I got a vintage, like, gold, not real gold, but like, I don't know, gold plated. Like, I wanted one of those vintage Timex Casio watches.
Yeah. Is it a new one?
It's a new one, but it's made to
great.
Look old.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just an old vintage. It's pretty big. I think it's either men's or unisex. It wasn't like the ladies version, but I got like a gold one and it's pretty fun. It looks so old school. It looks like it's from
those.
Like 85.
I have a calculator watch too.
Really?
Yeah, from I bought it a few years ago and it was like $20 or something. But one of the Casio calculator, the buttons hardly don't work. You know, they hardly work, but it's cool looking.
Yeah.
It's like you had it in the 80s.
I love it. I love the 80s. Yeah.
What'd you
get?
What did I get? I gotta think about it and I'll get back to you. I'll never get back to you. Because thinking for me takes
a
lot.
Pam, have I got news for you.
Not a texter, but somebody watching us on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can watch KMOX on YouTube at KMOX 1120. So you can find the show live there. Wanting to know about the BMW that cut you off.
Yes.
Wanted to know if it was black because that guy was going on the curb and shoulders on Sunday morning on Highway K, getting on to 40. I have dash cam video of it.
Oh my gosh, do you really?
That's what they
said. So I think it might have been black because it was night and it was dark. And when I say my life flashed before me and I saw the BMW, like, what would you call it? Just like move right through, like the back of his car went right through the front of my car, almost like a ghost.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we didn't crash. It was, to this day, the closest thing I've ever come to a high-speed crash. I think it might have been black. I bet it was an older, one of the big, I think it's a 7 Series that they don't make anymore. It kind of squarer in shape. It wasn't a new one. Oh, I bet it was that guy.
Amy, today is National Bacon Day. Did you know it?
Well, I did. And the thing is, we didn't know it soon enough because you had the best idea ever last night at like midnight when you texted or whenever it was.
Is
and that,
that
was
we should have done the broadcast from the Bacon Log Cabin in Baldwin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did we not do that?
I don't know, but it bothers me.
It bothers me.
No, I'll tell you, well, that's not the thing that bothers me. What bothers me is when I talk to somebody from Baldwin and I mention the Bacon Log Cabin and they say, I don't know what you're talking
about. How do you not know? The Bacon Log Cabin is literally the first memory I have of West County. Is that sign?
My grandmother used to live in that subdivision where the Bacon Log Cabin was.
It's on Henry.
Still there? Yeah, it's right off Henry Road.
And it's built in probably 1820s, they say.
Yep.
Why did we not broadcast from the Bacon Log Cabin?
Probably because we didn't realize National Bacon Day was today. Did you know it was coming up?
Well, I mean, last night I did at midnight.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
I think bacon's overrated.
Oh, okay.
It's fine.
What do you mean it's fine?
It's just kind
nothing
of
smells like nothing smells.
Well, yeah, I think it's really good to have one piece of bacon or maybe half a piece of bacon, but that's it. I don't need a lot of bacon on a sandwich. I prefer salads without bacon. Sometimes I say, "Can you leave off the bacon?"
Do you think you're better than everybody else?
I mean, probably.
Bacon is extraordinary. And I get it. It became a thing for a long time, like how great bacon was.
And bacon and I get it. Sheets and bacon sweatshirts and bacon weddings.
But it is legitimately good. And
it's good.
And very good. And it does live up to whatever hype.
Mm. It got overexposed.
Nothing smells as good as bacon.
Ryan Reynolds is the bacon of Hollywood, and bacon is the Ryan Reynolds of the breakfast
food. That doesn't even...
It's good, but it's just overexposed. It's overdone. It's okay. Take a break.
All right.
Go away.
All right, we're going to be back with you tomorrow. The Chris and
From
Amy
the Bacon
Show.
Bacon Log Cabin?
We're not going to be at the Bacon Log Cabin. But,
What?
Coming up next, the Gas House Gang with Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. They're going to do a year in review sort of thing today. So you're going to want to listen in to that because the Dave Glover Show is out on vacation till the new year. But coming up next, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas. Anything you missed from this show is on the Odyssey app. You've got to download it, baby. What a great free Christmas gift can be for you. Get the Odyssey app. Listen to the podcast. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, KMOX.
I don't want to be stuck with people and I don't want diarrhea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want diarrhea.